Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with myself, VJ Smith, president and founder of the Minneapolis chapter of Mad Dads, and my co-host, Mr.
Gil Baggett.
That's right. That was not a recording you heard. That was an actual, actual Baggett.
That's right.
And we want to thank you for being on Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads. We're having a great time already. We already believe that we're going to have a great show. And your call-in number is, I will get that for you in just a minute.
My Blog Talk number?
Yeah, we're going to grab that for you. We're going to be talking about our elders and the importance of our elders and why it's so important to believe and trust in our elders. We have found out that so many of our kids today have lost touch with the elders. They don't trust in them. They don't believe them. And we need them to understand the value and the importance of having an elder. We're going to be talking about that, old school versus new school, giving out some quotes, and just talking about the value of our elders. What's that telephone number again?
That number is 347-215-9262.
Give it again.
Again, it's 347-215-9262. That's Blog Talk Radio.
And I want to read something that was written by elders. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, thou who has brought us thus far on the way, thou who has made thy might, let us into the light. Keep us forever in the path, we pray. Lest our feet stray from the places, our God, where we met thee. Lest our hearts drunk with the wine of the world, we forget thee. Shadow beneath thy hand, may we forever, ever stand. True to our God and true to our native land. What does that mean, Gil? That's our national black anthem part of it. What does that mean to you, Gil? That was written by our elders.
Well, it means that, you know, you got to look inside and you got to experiment and you got to explore and you got to do the things that are different. You got to do the things that are right, even though you know the facts. You know, a lot of times, you know, we want to do things that we want to do, irregardless of how they're going to affect future generations. Sometimes you have to take the brunt of the responsibility yourself right then and now because you understand already what the future is going to be like today.
Well, I think that's an excellent comment about that. I want to read something. One of the elders said, healthy children will not fear life if their elders have enough integrity to not fear death.
That's right.
What does that mean to you?
You know, all right. You know, that's the same thing that Jesus Christ, you know, has teaching us is that don't put your faith in flesh. You know, you can't put your faith in flesh. You know, you have to live up here and you know, like as a Christian, we all know that we walk by faith. So we have to put the things and instill the things in our children that we ourselves believe in, that we know through experience, through practice, you know, that these things, if done right, if it's practiced right, if it's taught right, shall prevail to the best outcome for our children's future.
What we found out is that kids today grieve differently, celebrate differently.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Look at education differently.
That's right.
Look at family differently. And so how do we get them to even think about role modeling after the elders when I think we've lost the respect for the elders?
Yeah. I think this was a very, you know, premeditated condition in our society. First, we got wrong when we started taking prayer out of school. We took prayer out of school, and next thing you know, we made individuals out of our children. And not to say the individuality is anything wrong. It's just that it's a collective responsibility for a consciousness for people to be aware that you are responsible for what you do to other people.
But when we look at, there's something going wrong here, and I don't know how we fix it, but there's more grandmothers watching their daughters and sons and daughters' kids, raising them up. There's more parents that are allowing their kids to be involved in gangs and actually recruiting them for gangs and recruiting them for violence, and actually being the, before we used to always say, watch out for that boy down the street, because that boy bad, and that boy gets you in trouble, and you stay away from Gil.
Mm-hmm.
Gil ain't right. But now, we're finding that it's the parents that the kids have to watch out for now.
That's true. But, BJ, again, you know, by me being a spiritual person, you know, and I take a lot of my guidance from the Bible. In Jeremiah 3:10, it says that when a nation turns away from that which is right, from that instructions that have gotten you to the point that you have gotten to, when you turn away from those things and you ignore them, that you're looking for a disastrous outcome. And that's what we have done. We have taken the parenting away from the parents. We have no longer... Parents have become so young, like Big Mama Nine is what, 40, you know, and the individuality and the strength of the person has been so, you know, cast upon our children to speak their mind, to say this and to say that, and to show their individuality and all these other things, and that it's all right for you to lay up here and act out. You know, like we can deal with that when we can look at that when we look at the different approaches of communication that our kids have today. You know, even though I believe in progress, and I believe in the stuff you're saying that we're gonna eventually evolve to the extent where that we're gonna have all this technology and all these other things like this here and stuff. But when we do, are we gonna be people anymore? You know what I'm saying? Because like we raising a group of children that are dead emotionally.
Yeah, they are. They're emotionally dead and spiritually dead.
Spiritually dead, amen.
And they're vitamin deficient, God deficient.
They are.
You know, physically, they're deficient because they smoke. More of our kids smoke now.
Drink alcohol.
Drink alcohol. Have sex.
Have sex at 10.
You know, I think the important thing, too, when you talk about elders and sex, is that I believe that these little girls, when they start having sex at a young age, they forget that they're supposed to be saving themselves for their husband.
But the conventional conception of marriage has lost this country. It's left this country, you know. It's more me, I. You know, you look at all the different commercials that's out there today. It's always targeted toward the individual, not the collective. You know, mm-hmm. And seeing we have learned, we've gotten away from the collective consciousness of a community.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it took to sustain a village.
Right.
When, you know, when we was coming up, we knew everybody that stayed on our block.
Absolutely.
We made it our business to know how many kids lived in that apartment, what
Absolutely.
Kind of car that person watched, and stuff like that. You know, we sat around and we talked about the various things that affected our community, our schools, you know, the Boys and Girls Club, when something else happened and stuff. You said all that news was translated by mouth, not by cell. Now today we had these cell phones. And, you know, even though it's a great achievement for man, I think it was a detrimental instrument to put in the hands of our children.
I agree.
Because, you know, I remember when it used to be one phone in the house, and that was in Mama's room. You know, then she took one phone and put it in the kitchen, you know. And when she went to bed, you know what I'm saying, she unplugged the phone and put the phone in her house. You know, so now we got our kids staying up at outrageous times at night, playing video games. So when they do get up, time to get them up to put them on the school bus and stuff like that, they're mentally fatigued.
Now see, that's you listen, you know, listen to how things have changed. Kids are 3 or 4 in the morning on Facebook saying they're bored.
Yeah, I can't sleep.
I need somebody to talk to. I want to play Secrets. Tell me your deepest secrets. I'll tell you mine. That's why elders were able to keep control over our youth, because we didn't let technology take control. It won't be long before a young person will be able to disappear from their whole house, you know, because they have an electronic device that will
teleport, huh?
That will teleport them and get them out. I want to read something that a quote from the elders. All living things will want to be present for this day when time ends, and we enter the forever cycle of the fifth world. Then, one morning, in a moment, we will awaken to the red dawn. The sky will be the color of blood. Now, that's a Native American quote from Ghost Wolf and Hopi elders. That those kind of quotes, man, are precious quotes, because they're quotes that allow us to understand exactly how important it is. See, that kind of stuff you don't even understand, though. Think about it. Have you heard any elders talk like this lately?
Well, you know, like most of the elders that we know we ride the bus. So when you get off into a conversation with one of these our elders, the first thing they always bring the protocol is how it used to be and how they see this world coming to its end. You know, it's always a doom message involved in that. You know, and I can understand it, because just like they said, the sky is going to be the color of blood. You know, I guess that's when John, when he was on the island of Patmos, and when he had got all those visions that was running through his head, and the Lord was allowing him to see the end of times as they knew it. And he's seen these great formulations in the clouds and stuff like that of things that did not go together, and people that wouldn't be seen a lion and a goat and all the other stuff, lion and sheep laying down with all the, you know, he's seen the, you know, what do you call it, the end of time, what do you call that?
Yeah,
the populace.
Yeah, the populace, okay.
Yeah, he's seen that, you know. And I think that's what the old people seeing now, you know what I'm saying? I've seen the citizens, they're so precious because they got so much experience. They got so many things that they've experienced and they've learned through, you know, through practical application. They've done that. You know, we always got that phrase, they've been there, done that. And, you know, if you actually just open up your eyes and you look at the wonderment of this world, you'll see there's a whole lot that we haven't done. We haven't been there. We haven't done that. Yeah, we have been around the block a couple of times, but that's just where we've been. We stayed right here in Minneapolis and stuff, and we've endured our trips around the block. But we haven't experienced our communication as a world, you know, as a world unit.
Well, one of the things that's evident that we're losing the young generation based upon the fact that we have let technology take over.
We have.
And so, therefore, I can't remember the last time that kids just sit down and listen.
They don't.
You know, just sit down and listen. Now, you remember when you were younger, you remember just sitting down and listening to old people?
Yeah.
What was that like? What was that experience like?
You know, because, you know, like, you know, I was a foster child. You know what I'm saying? My family gave me up early on. And so when I got back around my family, I had a very strong desire to know who they were. And I had an older uncle, and he used to sit down, he used to tell us stories about our families, like my grandfather's grandfather, you know, about them, how they was living in Mississippi and how they laid up here, and they was moonshiners, and they was puckwood haulers, and how hard they have it and stuff like that. And I used to just sit there and listen to for hours, and he would just talk on about his experiences of coming up to the north, you know, and come selling in Chicago, and how different it was of a struggle that they had, because they was all backwoods, small town boys. So I was very attentive whenever he spoke to us, you know. And But having to start working it off into these charter schools up here in Minneapolis, I see that it's very hard to maintain the interest and the focus of our children for more than 10, maybe at 10 minutes at the most. Because, and then you have to be talking about something that's highly interested to them. If it doesn't serve their interest, they're not really going to listen to you.
You know, a healer and a teacher said, and this is the elder said, when I see a need, I take care of it. And I see a need right now. Yes. I see a need, and we're doing our best. Mad Dad's doing our best. We have programs that we believe that try to take care of that, and we do our best to facilitate change in the community. Matter of fact, we do that by a number of things. We do that with our Men's Empowerment and Responsibility Program, which will happen tonight. We invite you to come to it at 3023 4th Avenue South. That's 3023 4th Avenue South. Also, we're working with guys coming out of prison. We're working with folks coming out of incarceration. We're working with youth that are in the county homeschool. And we're in the schools, and we're doing the COPS program. And I believe that when I see kids, and they always ask me, where's Gil? Where's Gil at? Where's Gil? They always ask me where Gil is. I get really proud, and I get excited, and I think that's the reason why Gil and myself can never revert back to what we used to do, that we're now what you consider elders. We're elders that the community and the children believe in us. It must make you feel good. How does it feel, Gil?
It feels great. You know, because, again, you have a quote in hand from George Byrne. And George Byrne, man, he's that old old comedian. He always makes jokes about his age and stuff, you know. And he said that he as he was growing up, they told him to always respect. He said he was taught to respect his elders and to listen to what his elders had to say. He said, but now he's gotten up to an age now that he ain't got to listen to nobody. You know, because he said he lived that long, and you know, it occurred to me now that the first part of my life, you know, I was a child, you know, I was hard headed, I was defiant, you know, I was confrontational, I was argumentative, you know. I mean, you had to show me. I was from Missouri, you know. You had to show me. I was from, you know, you showed me before, you know. I mean, if I ain't believing nothing that you say, you know, is a truck coming, all right, let it run over me. And I suffered from that stupidity, you know. See, but now I understand the love that Christ has for us. Christ said the love is long-suffering. Yes, so now I've understood that. See, he allowed me to survive the suffrage. So that now I've become a tool of my experiences. Now I can take these tools and I can apply these tools to various situations that I see that are stumbling blocks for our children today. So, but I also understand this, that love is long suffering. That in order to live here and bring about a positive change in a negative situation, you've got to be a strong-willed individual. You have to be tough-skinned, because our children have learned to curse. Our children have learned to fight with words that have no meaning, because they don't understand what's coming out of their mouth other than pain. And they use words as weapons, you know.
You're absolutely right. They use the wrong thing as a weapon, because we need them to use education. I got a call on the line, though, Brother Gil. We're going to talk to him right now. Your number is 5270. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with VJ and Gil. How you doing? Are you there? Hello? You're on 5270. You're on Blog Talk Radio with Mad Dads. Well, we know you're listening in, and we're glad you are. We're going to put you back on hold so that you can continue to listen in. And we're going to continue to talk about our elders. We're doing the senior boat ride, and the reason why I brought elders up
we're doing
is...
The- Senior Pride Day, not
yep.
Boat Ride.
Yep, the Senior Pride Day. I'm so used to saying Boat Ride. we're doing Senior Pride Day. That's coming up August the 26th. It's coming up this Friday at the North Regional Park, Mississippi North Regional Park. And we're going to have a great time. If you need more information, call our office, 612-822-0802. You can get more information about it. We're pretty excited about the fact that we're going to be honoring our seniors. And I think to honor your seniors, you know, means a lot to me. My grandmother, I lost her at an early age, and I lost her mainly because I was on the run from the police and didn't know she had Alzheimer's. And so I wanted to have an event where I could recognize her. So to my mother, Devolia Hardiman, Kansas City, Missouri, right on 18th and Truce. The only house left, just her house in the freeway. And my brother's staying there now, but I just devote that day to the grandmothers and those elders that we deserve to give respect and honor to. And so I'm hoping that we can transfer this down through the years so others can do the same to recognize our elders in our community. Gil?
Yeah, I was just here, you know, reading this quote from that was tweeted to us. It says, "Thanks to television, for the first time, the young are seeing history made before it is censored by our elders." And said the advice of their elders to young men is every app to be the very unreal list of 100 best book sale. He says, through the media of films, books, and music, and the behavior of elders. Understand, they say the behavior of elders, young minds are excited and roused into indulgence. You know, those are some profound thoughts that's coming to us from people out there that's looking at this at a critical stage. You know, or I understand what they're trying to say. And that, you know, that through films, you know, like when I was coming up, I know when VJ was coming up, a lot of listeners out there was coming up. Superfly, Scarface, James Cagney movies. You know, those were imageries that was projected to us and stuff that we all wanted to be, that Al Capone and those type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? There was never really no positive imageries that was projected to us. We as you know, like as being a baby boomer. You know, we was brought up through television, Father Knows Best, Leave It to Beaver, and those type of imageries and stuff that was showing a strong, healthy American family, you know, to get together, sit down and eat and stuff like that there and stuff. But that wasn't reality in my household. So I never laid up in and took on that characteristic that was being projected by the television. See, but now our kids are being subjected to all forms of profanity coming over the airways and stuff. I remember my father getting mad one time. My auntie getting mad one time because my father used to be playing Chuck Berry music. You know what I'm saying? And she said that Chuck Berry was a pervert and that Chuck Berry was making sexual innuendos and suggestions in his music and all that Long Tall Sally and all that stuff. So she knew that, but we didn't understand because, you know, we was just listening to the music and stuff because that was the only entertainment we had in Mississippi at that time. So, you know, now our kids are inundated through all forms of media, you know, through books, through commercialization, you know, through their iPhones and all the stuff they see. They just sit on the bus memorized by just looking in their phones, playing with them and stuff like this here and stuff, you know. And the music that we hear today is so influential. We know this music be so influential because we know 15 years ago our elders was objecting to rap music because they said rap music is going to be a deterrent to education. This is what they said now.
Yep.
They say rap music was going to be a deterrent to education, you know what I'm saying, socialization, and rehabilitation of the black community. Because at one time we had upheaval of community activists that all they wanted to do was cure the social ills in our community. Today, we're wrestling with a far greater enemy because our children have so much access to so much information.
Douglas MacArthur said this, Gil. Thank you, Gil. You are as young as your faith, and as old as your doubt, as young as your self-confidence, as old as your fear, and as young as your hope, and as old as your despair. And then Pearl Buck says, our society must make it right and possible for the old people not to fear the young or to be deserted by them. For the test of civilization is the way that it cares for its helpless members. And I'm afraid, man. I'm afraid that when I get too old to take care of myself, I might as well do something. I don't know, man, because, you know, you just don't know who's going to take care of you. You really don't. You don't know who's going to have that kind of love and compassion, not to just take care of you for the check that comes every month, but to take care of you and love you. Because what good is life without love?
Yeah. And you know something, VJ, since you just said that, I was listening to this lady on the bus yesterday, and she said that she had received notification by the Minnesota, you know, that PCA stuff.
Right.
That they were going to cut down on the amount of money that they was giving her daughter to take care of her.
Right.
And she said that she was afraid that if they cut her daughter's check on taking care of her, that her daughter wouldn't want to take care of her no more.
Mm.
And, you know, that kind of struck me as like, wow. You know, could that really be true? And then I thought about it, you know what I'm saying, about how people that I know
right.
are getting paid to take care of their parents, you know. And the parent is not the focus. It's not the focus, you know. I mean, they give the parents what they need, their medication,
right.
and clean them up and stuff like this here and stuff, you know what I'm saying. But what you just said, you know what I'm saying, that integrity, that part about that humanity, that part about love and compassion, you know. Are you taking care of me because you love me? Or are you just taking care of me because you look at me as a dollar sign? You know, and elderly people, you know, that was as a young men have a profession of regarding their elders as senile. And we know a lot of, you know, you can look in the eyes when we be having that senior pride day. We look at those elderly people and stuff. Those are men of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and experience. They've experienced wars. They've held down jobs. They've held down corporative jobs, you know what I'm saying? They was in the corporate world. They was teachers. They was administrators and stuff. You know what I'm saying? They was movers and shakers. And now, due to the frailty of their bodies and their limbs, not the frailty of their or the senility of their minds, you know, they're still as strong as they was when they were 21 years old. They just don't have the power, because the Bible says that too. It said, when I was a young man, I roamed this land as I wanted to, going to and fro. But now, as I'm an old man, they're taking me by my hand and leading me to places that I don't want to be. And I can understand the elderly people in our society today watching this world deteriorate.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You know, not deteriorate materialistically, but deteriorating spiritually.
Yep.
You know, and consciously. You know, because you have to make a mental conscious decision to be cruel to somebody.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And it sounds like you're listening to Blog Talk Radio with the Minneapolis chapter of Mad Dads, with V.J. Smith, and my co-host, Mr.
Gil Baggett.
That's right. And you know what? We're excited about you. Don't you go nowhere. We usually start off and kick off the second half, but we're just kind of tightening up the first half. And our elders are so important and so critical. We have been losing folks to gun violence and all kinds of other violence. There will be a vigil on Sunday on 17th and Morgan for the 14-year-old boy that got killed, shot in the head. Shot in the head by gang members. 14 years old, young man, beautiful young man. I was there yesterday where they burnt up his memorial site. Somebody just burnt it up. And so many kids were crying and upset. 12-year-old, 11-year-old kids, just upset. Their grief has already started. So on Sunday, we've got to empower them and tell them exactly what they have to do to be strong in our community. This is where the elders step up, Gil. This is where, Gil, you have to have a message of hope for those kids.
Well, we got to have a message of hope, because the message of doom is very apparent. And that just comes from the darkness that exists in our communities, you know, how we're just willing to lay up here and just hold and hide and conceal, you know, the darkness is in our community, how we allow gangs to exist anyway, you know. So until we face that, until we come together and no longer act in fear, we're just going to be subject to this.
Well, the other piece is that there was a stabbing on 30th in Chicago. They let the man go because they said it was self-defense. He was protecting himself. But he killed two people in the midst of all that stabbing. The other person died yesterday.
Yeah, in the hospital.
He's in the hospital. He died.
Yeah, I heard.
And so there's two people that died. One man has got to live with two deaths. One little boy that's dead. And so three people are gone now due to violence in our community. August is always a tough month. Seems like just before September starts getting cool, everybody that wanted to get revenge for everything hits us up in August. You notice that, Gil?
Yeah, since I've been up here, I have noticed that. You know, it seems like it's supposed to be a time of festivity, a time when we're up here rejuvenating from the summer, getting prepared to take our children back to school, and just celebrate the celebration of just living. You know, it seems like it's bad when a father has to lay up here and bury his son, and the father is only 35 years old. You know, it was a sad scene, but it's a scene that's steady repeating itself. You know, it's just that I find it just so difficult to be a part of the way these kids celebrate. We was up on 38th in Chicago when this kid got killed. And, I take that back. Not when he got killed, but he had already passed away. And we was coming, they said they wanted to have a visual. And in the parts of the visual, they was making a video. And in the course of the video, it was so much profanity, so much gang representation, and so much just downright stupidity, jumping around and hollering and screaming, and you know, and the kid's father was there, his sister was there, she was openly grieving, and they had little children around, and I was just saying, you know, that hey, these, I'm just looking at the kids, and the kids, they don't understand death, you know, but they understood what was going around them. Their mothers hollering and pouring out beer on the ground, and it was sad, really sad.
And it's another reason why, if you listen to your elders, you wouldn't even have to go through any of that. You wouldn't have to be sad. You wouldn't have to be jumping around. You wouldn't have to. I was wondering if we had filled a busload of all the mothers of those people on that bus, what would they have done then? And brought all the mamas and grandmamas up there to see that, how would they have responded then?
Yeah. Did you see how many women was carrying babies, holding babies on their hip?
Yeah.
And I was just looking how the babies was looking and how the babies didn't know what to make out of all the hollering and the screaming. They didn't know, first they wanted to scream and holler, you know, and like, mama, take me away from this, you know. But then they seen mama getting into it and stuff. Then they started waving their hands. Mama's grabbing the baby's hands and waving their hands and make them stick their fingers up in the air and all that stuff, you know. And like, to answer your question about if the parents had came, I don't think they would have altered their behavior not one iota.
Mm.
Because, see, they was in that stage of rebellion. You know, and that's what's so scary, that how we've allowed the hatred for ourselves to revert back into the hatred to everything around us. Because, see, these kids have such a mentality like they don't see any beauty in life no more. Everything is dark and everything is crusty. That's when they get around elderly people who have lived their lives, and they understand the precious and the value of life. Elderly people are looking at and saying, all the things I missed, all the things that I should have done, the things I should have accomplished. and they're trying to put that enthusiasm into their grandbabies and they children, and these kids are not being receptive to it because they think they know, they got the answer to this, you know, and it's so sad because when I, you know, like, you know, poetry is a sign of rebellion within your time. You know, mm-hmm. A poet used to be one of the most prolific community advertisements in the whole village because they always spoke, you know, in the subliminal right. as to what the conditions was that come from the pulse of the community. Today, we listen to how these children, how they call it rap, the spoken word, and you listen to all the different violence and the avocation of hurting other people and things like that. And then we get back, just to get back to the elderly people again, you know, our elders, they're hearing this stuff. This is about, this is what scanned them. This is how come the medications that they're taking is not being effective. Because they're living up under a threat of fear. They're scared to go sit out. I remember old people used to just sit out on their porches and wave at cars because they knew everybody coming down the street. Now people can't even lay out in the sit out on the front porches no more. You know what I'm saying? They don't greet their neighbors anymore. You know what I'm saying? The kids don't take the mamas and the grandmamas to the church no more. You know, and it's just becoming a sad thing. And I'm just so thankful that Mad Dad has been conscious enough to preserve a day that every day everything is directed toward the comfort and the entertainment and the enjoyment and the laughter of the elders, of our senior citizens.
And you know, that's absolutely correct, and we love them so much. I was looking at a quote here that says, there is a fountain of youth. It's in your mind. Your talents, the creativity you bring to your life, and the lives of people you love. When you learn to tap this source, you will truly have defeated age. That was by Sophia Loren, and I think that is absolutely correct. The fountain of youth is in your mind. And I, you know, even though I'm 50-something, I feel pretty good.
Yeah, did right.
I feel really pretty good. That I'm enjoying life and I'm loving life. We're going to go to the caller one time, see if we can get this caller on the line. How you doing? 5270, how are you? You're on the line with Blog Talk Radio. Hello? You're on the line. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. 5270, we're waiting on you to talk. Well, we'll come back to you again one more time. We want to thank you for listening in, though. The Senior Pride Day is coming up this Friday from 10 to 3. We're going to have a great time. The guys are going to, they're just going to be there all day and hang out with us, and if they decide later on they want to jump on the bus and do the Peace Bus, they can do that. They just want to chill for the day. That's cool. But everybody will be there. We're all mandated to be there to help you seniors. And anybody that wants to volunteer to help us out, 612-822-0802, 612-822-0802. You can go to our website at www.MinneapolisMadDads.org. We'll be glad to talk to you and chat with you. What are some of the things, man, growing up, Gil, you know, I remember an old man told me one day I had a fake earring in my ear. And he said, boy, if you save your money up, buy you a real gold earring, you want to keep buying all them fake earrings. And I went out and saved my money up. I actually bought me a real, I had me my ear pierced with a real diamond earring in my ear. And I wanted him to see it so bad. But every time I bought something, I bought quality stuff. Because I noticed those earrings would get weird and change colors. And, you know, and I was wearing all kind of stuff in my ear. Trying to be cute, you know?
Yeah.
Elders have really helped me out a lot. Tell me some things that an elder has done for you.
Well, you know, like I said, I grew up in foster homes, you know, and I had various, you know, people, elderly people, that was associated with the families that I lived with, you know. But I remember this one dude, and his name, he was, I don't really remember his name. I know his last name was Green. And so I had came home one day, you know what I'm saying, and I was really upset because it was visitation day. So all other kids in the foster home, you know, they families had came to see him, their mothers and stuff like this here came to see him, brought him candy and food and stuff. But didn't nobody come to see me, and I was real kind of depressed, you know. And so I went up to him and stuff, you know, and I asked him, you know, I said, hey, man, you know, how come my mama and them don't come and see me, man? You know, and he told me, he said, you live long enough, you'll learn the answer to that question. And that was one of the things that, you know, I always remember him telling me that, you know. And I did live long enough, and I did receive the answer to that question. And when I did receive the answer to that question, I immediately went back to that time when he sat and he was talking to me, because he was a man of very few words, you know. But every time he did speak to me, you know, because I had time, I had problems adjusting in school and stuff, and the principal always send me home with the truant officer and stuff like that, you know. And he used to sit down, and, you know, and he would never say much, you know. He never ridiculed me or nothing like that, never hit me, never scold me, none of that, you know. And he just told me, he said, boy, you gonna fight until you put that fire that's in your heart. He said, until you put that fire in your heart, he said, you're not gonna ever find no contentment. You know wherever they send you at, Gil. You know. And when I was in prison, I thought about what he said, because that fire was still in my heart. But, you know, that just goes to show that, to me, is that we need the seniors in our life to share the experiences of their life,
mm-hmm.
because they've been there, you know. A lot of their lives haven't been easy, because we know as African Americans in this country that we've survived a lot of social indiscretions, discrimination,
mm-hmm.
and all this stuff. These were the pioneers. These were the ones. These were the early Christians, you know what I'm saying, that was put up on the cross, you know, that suffered the degradation and the pain and the hurt to lay up here and to render to us today, so we can walk into a store, that we can walk into the front door of a bus, that we can walk into a theater, that we can lay up here and just go in where we can just spend our money where we choose to spend our money at. These were the pioneers. These are the ones that did it. And they deserve the respect of their people. But when we look at it in connection with the young kids today, they think that these things here were just mandated.
And they weren't. They weren't mandated. There's a process. There's a way that you get there. It's things that you do. Everybody wants something instant. As soon as somebody dies, we want to respond the way we want to respond. Instead of seeking help and counsel, we don't want counsel. We don't want counseling. We don't want therapy. All we want is something to drink, something to smoke, and a pill to take that's going to make it better. And, you know, society has got you trained that way, but let me share this with you. Not only are you asking yourself, how soon can I die, mentally, spiritually, and socially, but you're asking yourself, why even do the right thing? Why even do the right thing? And so you're limiting yourself to doing all the wrong things for all the wrong reasons with all the wrong responses. And then when you get those responses and those things happen to you, then you wonder, where did everybody else go wrong? Because you're blaming everybody for all the mistakes that happened. You're not listening to your elders. You're not taking time to listen to your elders. You're not taking time to be involved with your elders. You're excluding your elders from everything you do. Matter of fact, you see your elders do things that are right, and you say, while they're doing it, you say, I'm not going to do it like that.
Right.
Because I'm not going to work that hard. I'm going to work smart. But you're not really working smart. You're working dumb. And then when you end up, you know, what size is the prison cell?
And, 10 by 12.
You see, I won't work for McDonald's because they only pay you $4 an hour, but I will go work for the prison system, get out of my cell for what, 95 cents a day?
Yep. 95.
65 cents a day. 95 cents if you get a raise.
95 cents if you work in the industry.
Yeah, 95 cents if you're making something they can sell, right?
Making something you can sell. Amen.
So we will do that. And when the elders are saying, listen to me, you'll never have to go to jail. Listen to me, you'll never have to see a prison cell. But you'll listen to somebody that says, hey, man, go to jail, man.